going to change pace again, as we always do through the 3 hours, and we're going to have a member of the Highway Patrol here with us, and it's leading Senior Constable James Savin. Now, we've spoken to James before, but first of all, welcome, James.
Thank you, Alan. Great to be here again.
Great to have you along as well. And we thank Jacinta for making you available for us. And I now find out you're on leave, so you've actually taken time out of your own time to come and see us.
I'm here just for you.
That's terrific. We really love it. Statistics. Now, I've spoke to you when I first met you as you walked in the door and said, look, I spend a bit of time on the road and there are just some idiots. So do you want to just tell us about the statistics? We need to get through to people. You've got to be more careful.
Absolutely. And this year has not been fantastic. I mean, any lives lost is unacceptable. But you know, this year we're up to 145 lost on our roads.
Gee. James, can I just say, ask you too, because like you're saying 145, but that's not 145 people have died. We're talking about death, aren't we?
Yes.
What about the ones that become quadriplegic, paraplegics, and all these families involved?
Absolutely.
So it's life-changing. Hundreds and hundreds, isn't it?
Yes, life-changing. And you're absolutely right, Alan. The effects, I think we spoke about it last time, the ripple effect out from any fatality where the family, any other people who are involved, the emergency services who have to attend, yep, police, etc., the ripple effect out from a fatal collision is huge. And, you know, we've had 145 people lost on our road this year. That's up from 133 last year. In the eastern part of the state, 50 of those came from the eastern part of the state. And within, we're five in the Yarra Ranges alone.
And the cars are reported getting safer. So it's people making, in a lot of instances, and I don't want to sort of say the wrong thing, but it's more driver judgment, driver edge. Driver error.
Yes, absolutely. More cases than not, yep, it's coming down to either drug or alcohol impairment,
yep,
or speed. Speed, yep, dangerous driving. Speed is one of the big factors. Yep. People not driving to the conditions. It's costing us a lot. If people would just drive to the conditions, especially at this time of year when our roads are not in the greatest condition and we have some really nasty weather.
Yep. And I guarantee if you hadn't been in a marked police car, travelling up today, you would have seen at least three people doing stupid things on wet roads.
Absolutely. Our guys are out there all the time doing enforcement, and we'd love it if we didn't catch anybody. Well, that's not the right term. It'd be greater if people were just driving normally and our guys could just drive around and have a presence. But unfortunately, there's a lot of speeding, a lot of impaired driving going on, and so our guys are kept busy every day doing enforcement, trying to deter these people.
And I know you and I mentioned this last time, and I said to you that fines are really optional. You don't have to incur a fine if you don't do the wrong thing.
Absolutely, yeah. You can save the cost of your hip pocket,
yep,
by just driving to the speed limit, obeying the road rules, keeping everybody safe, and it won't cost you.
And I'm going to ask you this. The speed limit today, while it's whatever it may be, if it's wet and slippery, that's your maximum, isn't it? You don't have to sit right on the 80 or the 100,
no,
do you?
You've got to drive to the conditions, especially, yeah, you know, when you're looking up around the Yarra Valley in areas, especially, you know, where we've got roads like the Black Spur or the Reefton Spur, yeah, going up through there. In this sort of weather, those roads become greasy, slippery. Drive to the conditions and to the speed limit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is that the only statistic you wanted to give us?
Yeah, or? So I want, like, one of the, like, out of the five lives lost this year, three, yep, of them have been through motorcycle fatalities.
I want to. I've just got to take a break.
Okay.
So and I don't want it because I know that's going to be an item by itself. There's nothing else you want to say just before I take the break about the statistics.
Let's take a break and then we'll talk about the motorcycles.
No worries. Now, James, I didn't like to cut you off, but I really would like to give this next discussion a bit more time than just jamming it in before I had to take a break with the sponsorships. We want to hear. Well, I want to hear about Elias and these motorcycles.
Can you tell us? Yeah. So there's a special project being set up, and it's called the Elias Project. And Elias, it's in memory of Constable Elias Geovasilis. He was a 22-year-old young man who just joined Victoria Police in October of 23. And he graduated from the police academy in January of 2024. And he was working from Belgrave Police Station, very active, enthusiastic member up there. And then one day, in his own time, he was out recreational riding his motorcycle. Yep. And unfortunately, he had a collision and he lost his life. Now, his parents, Bill and Janine, wonderful people. They run a barber's shop up in Tacoma. They were in contact with Police Legacy and with Victoria Police, and there was discussion about how to keep Elias's memory alive and to do some good in relation to road policing. And so the Elias Project was born. Yeah. And what that does is that it's about trying to educate the riders who are out there recreationally riding through the Yarra Valley.
Yeah.
Part of it is a special pamphlet's been put together. And when that gets rolled out, it not only tells Elias's story, but it also provides information to riders about safer riding. Yeah. And it also gives links into wonderful organisations like the Amber Community. And the Amber Community provide... They're an organisation who provide support services for people who have been involved in road trauma, and they're on. They can be contacted through www.ambercommunity.org.au. They provide support services or link people up with support services who have been involved in road trauma. Just looking through my notes here about. So we've got the pamphlets. And it's also about encouraging people to take some, like young drivers, take some defensive driving type educational programs.
Bikes.
Yes, yep. On their bikes, and also road drivers. And it's about educating drivers of cars as well to be aware of motorcyclists around them. Yep. So it's a really good project. Bill and Janine are wonderful people, and... They want to be, especially Janine wants to be a true advocate for road safety.
Because I think, as you and I have probably discussed before, that when you're on a motorcycle, you don't have anything around you, like airbags and anything else, do you?
No,
like,
you're sitting astride a motor.
Yep.
On a vehicle that can do, in most cases, in excess of 200 kilometres per hour, and if things go wrong, there's nothing to really help you. And that's why it's so important for the riders to be wearing good quality safety gear.
I was just going to say, ask you that. I often see them out on shorts.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
So you've got nothing between your skin and the gravel if you come off.
That's right. And having been to a number of collisions involving motorcyclists, the difference between, when a rider's come off their bike, the difference between requiring years of skin grafts and learning, rehab of learning to walk again, compared to not having to go through that, is the difference between buying a good quality pair of Kevlar or leather pants,
It makes that big a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. The same with boots. The amount of people with horrendous, broken bones and things because they weren't wearing the right side of foot.
I've seen them with thongs.
I know. And I'm sure it's lovely, in the warm weather to ride along in that. But if you come off the bike, you're in a world of hurt.
So have you attended any accidents with motorbikes?
Absolutely. And there's been some... really horrendous ones. There was one earlier in the year in January up in Powtown, I think I might have spoken about last time. And there we've got two motorcycles that went head-on in the collision.
Sure.
One young man lost his life, and another gentleman suffered life-changing injuries.
He's not going to get over those.
No, he will. Yeah, so much of his life has changed as a result of that collision. And he was riding along minding his own business on a pleasant, you know, day's ride, and the next thing he knows, he's in hospital for quite a period of time, getting well enough to go home.
True.
Yeah.
And not going back to his normal life, as you say.
No. And, you know, and that's changed. Once again, there's that effect on everybody. There's the effect on his partner and on his family, having to deal with that trauma. And also all of the personnel who went up there. There's the guys who were riding with their mate who passed away. You know, they
they saw it.
Absolutely. You know, and that's, it's, yeah, the visuals from that are not good.
And I guess there's you, and you would have had a partner.
Yeah.
And like a police partner. Mm-hmm. And the ambulance and the coroner and all those.
Yeah.
The coroner's court who had to see it.
Absolutely. And, you know, you think about how, you know, CFA volunteers, SES volunteers who provide rescue services. That's not their day-to-day job. You know, they volunteer to do that road accident rescue. And so that's not something that they're, you know, they don't go to work each day with the mindset of, I might have to deal with that sort of road trauma. And they go out and they do a wonderful job. But, yeah, it's that ripple effect once again of that one person's actions can have this effect on so many people.
And it can
and
be
change
a split
their
second,
lives.
Can't
a split
it?
Second,
can be a split
absolutely.
Second.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm a bit keen to just mention to you and get your opinion. Well, I was involved in a company where we got company cars, and every time after when you got a brand new car, 3 months after you had to go and do the one of these advanced driving courses, and that was just mandatory.
Yep.
And the first time I went, they, you know, and you will know this, I'm going to ask you your views on it. They put down the witch's hats and say, right. When you're going to be hitting 60 by the time you get there, slam on the brakes as hard as you can, go and put the witch's hat down. So you put it down and you think, oh, that'll be all right. And then you do it and you go straight past that and you keep going.
Yeah.
And then after we'd done the first year, the first car, each time you went back then, every 3 years, you had to do it at 100 kilometres an hour. Like, it's unbelievable at 100 k's when you hit your brakes, where you're going to finish.
Absolutely. And even with the newer cars with ABS, you've still got, there's still a distance there. It's still.
Well, these cars had ABS. And many a time I thought I was going to go through the fence down the end of the Springvale racetrack there.
Yeah. I mean, and you think about it, that's a big chunk of metal that we're driving around. We tend to forget that we're driving a big, heavy chunk
over
of metal.
A ton.
You know, we were. I'm going to talk about it in a second if we have time about a motorcycle operation we've just done in the hills.
Let's do it now.
Let's do it now. All right. So we Operation Rolling Thunder. We ran it over a few weekends, and it was in response to recreational riders coming through.
When you say, I just don't want to stop you, but when you say recreational, you're talking about on the road or in the bush?
On the road, and also it's for people who are, you know, they're not riding to and from work on their motorcycle because they've gone out to actually just ride for that day. They're met up with some mates or they're riding on their own. And, of course, you know, our main arterials for that is you know, your Maroondah Highway up through the Spur, Woods Point Road heading up through Reefton Way, and, of course, your Noogee Powtown or Yarra Junction Powtown Road or Noogee Road out that way. So we concentrated on those three main roads over a number of weekends. And you talk about people, you know, doing silly stuff in cars. Yep. While we were standing talking to a motorcyclist on the Black Spur on this operation, we had a caravan coming towards us, and this driver in a car overtook the caravan on a blind corner, single white line, would have had no idea what was coming in the opposite direction. And, you know, the craziness, just because they were a little annoyed that the caravan was going slow down the spur. We all know that the spur is slow. We all know that, you know, you get a caravan in front of you, you're just going to be patient until you get to the end.
It's crazy. You're patient, get off the road.
Yeah. But this motorcycle op, you know, this has the Elias project in mind. What we did was on these roads, we had two sort of prongs to how we did the operation. One of them was just running a sort of a checkpoint thing where we pulled motorcyclists in and we had a chat with them about, you know, their riding, their gear.
Yep.
We made sure they were licensed and that they weren't impaired.
These people hadn't done anything wrong.
Yep,
yep.
We just wanted to have a chat with them and make sure, do they have the right riding gear? Have they thought about getting the, you know, Australian-approved stuff? We gave them some, you know, pamphlets on safer riding. We'd also were checking to make sure that their bikes were compliant, they were roadworthy, and that the riders weren't impaired in any way.
Yeah.
And the second prong to that was we had our colleagues from the state motorcycle unit, so the state highway patrol, assisted us, and they were doing, they were riding up and down these roads on their police motorcycles, conducting enforcement. You know, detecting speeders, detecting people doing silly overtaking manoeuvres, and they weren't just looking at the bike riders; they were also looking at the car drivers as well.
Yep.
You know, really successful operation. Unfortunately, like one Sunday morning up the top of the spur, we were pulling in cars as well as motorcycles, and between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock in the morning, we got two drivers. One went 0.09 and one went just over 0.1, you know, breath alcohol concentration. 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and they were just about to start heading down the Black Spur. They'd been out the night before.
Not going to go in well.
Nope. You know, and this is one of the things we need to highlight, is the importance of, if you are, you know, having drinks, you've got to give yourself plenty of time to let that alcohol well and truly clear out of your system.
It's not gone overnight, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. You know, and this is not old information. You know, this is, you know, TAC adverts have been out there for as long as I can remember. Reminding you about, you know, you've got to let the alcohol clear out of your system before you get behind the wheel of a car, because if... when we catch you, you will lose your license. There is no, there's no points anymore. It's loss of license for drink driving.
And it's not a case of, oh well, I can get by. I mean, if it's 3 months or 6 months, like it's got, you've got to get to work.
Yeah.
To, and if it's a family man, you want to get the kids to social stuff.
Yep. And this is all set up. You know, the reason we take away your license is because it's not only a deterrent for you to stop doing it the next time.
Yep.
But it's also letting everyone else. You'll tell your friends, you'll tell family how much of a, you know, a burden this put on your life, because you put everybody else in danger by drink driving.
You've been in the Highway Patrol for a number of years.
Yeah.
How? What sort of percent have don't even consider their family, that they could wipe half their family out in that?
I don't know. I mean, you're always, when it comes to drink driving, especially, you're always, unfortunately, there's this core group of people who believe that that they're never going to get caught and that they're right to do it. A lot of them, you know, just think, oh, I'm only driving a short distance, so it'll be fine. It's not fine.
But a number of people are killed fairly close to home too,
aren't
they?
Absolutely. But, you know, one of the great things about this operation is we got to speak to over 150 motorcyclists.
Yep.
We got great feedback from local communities, such as people around Powertown, people around Healesville, saying wonderful to see the police out and about on these roads. And we also, you know, we spoke to over 350 car drivers, which is fantastic. From that, 85 offences detected, for ranging from speed to drink driving, which is unfortunate.
Yep.
But, you know, at least we've sent these drivers
for the message.
Yeah.
Out when you pull over, and I suppose you pull over a lot more cars anyway, but do you find that the motorcyclists are more inclined to be breaching the law than the car drivers? And I'm talking now more about drugs and alcohol. Are they a bit more careful?
I don't know about in relation to drugs and alcohol.
Yep.
I would say that, generally speaking, motorcyclists have a more safer mindset.
Do they?
I think.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, yes, you're right. What you were saying before, you're right. Every now and again you see some twit wearing a singlet and a pair of Blundstones riding down the road. But mostly, and you see this a lot on these weekends when riders are out about, most of them are wearing the right type of gear, which is good to see.
But do they take more risk than the car driver, do you think? Or I'm not asking for figures.
No. I would say yes. When they're out on their weekends, I think some of them take way more risks than they necessarily would, or car drivers necessarily would.
Yep. Yeah. Just... Well,
for the thrill.
I was going to say that, the thrill of them. Yeah. Isn't it?
And that's why we're concentrating on those roads, because they love riding up there.
Yep.
There's lots of twisty corners and things like that, you know, and you've got the trees whipping past.
Yep.
It's almost like they want to go out there and a percentage of them just want to test their skill level. It's not a racetrack.
No.
The roads, I mean, the Black Spur's been nicely resurfaced over the past couple of years, but it's still areas where the sun doesn't shine on it, very greasy and mossy.
And it doesn't take long for them to slip sideways.
Slip
bike,
sideways, no, and there's no forgiveness on that type of road. On one side you've got an embankment, and the other side there's a valley.
Yep.
You mess up, it's and there's those big trees.
Yep.
It's yeah, it's not good. So, you know, we want to stop this from occurring.
No worries. I've just got to take a break, and we're back with more. Talking to leading senior constable James from down at the highway patrol at Lilydale. He's a great guy to see, and while I'm sitting opposite him, he's great, but I wouldn't want to meet him or any of his mates on the road.
No,
and
as that's long not as very I kind.
As long as I don't break, well, I'm trying to make the point, as long as I don't break the rules, I'm not going to meet any of you guys.
Exactly.
Now, we've just had someone ring up, pardon me, about headlights. And on... some people won't put their headlights down when you're driving into them. And most of the listeners know I'm here on a Sunday night between 6 and 8 and going home. Often cars have got one on high and one on low, and then when you flick them to ask them to put it down, it goes the other way. Is that something that they shouldn't be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So you, there's a lot of products out there, so people can go into, you know, like an Autobahn or a Supercheap, and they can buy different headlight globes. And one of the most important things people who are buying these things have got to realise is some don't actually comply with Australian design rules.
Yep.
And so they've got to check the packaging. Okay, it's okay to buy these lights.
Yep.
Whether it's legal to use them or not, you've got to check what the packaging says. Some are far too bright.
Yeah, and some of them are bluish, aren't they?
Yes, and some have got to be adjusted correctly. And as with all headlights, your headlights have got to be adjusted to a certain level. It's part of your roadworthy. And one of the things, one of the issues we're seeing is a lot of people, they have compliant headlights, but they're leaving their high beams on at nighttime because people are getting so used to automatic high beams on the newer cars.
Oh, yeah.
And so they'll jump in a car which they haven't driven before, and not realise that it doesn't have auto high beams, or they'll have switched theirs off accidentally and they'll be driving along with their high beams on. So any motorist, when they're driving a car, needs to be aware of how their vehicle is set up and what it's doing. And when your high beams are on, there's a nice blue light that comes up on your dash. You need to be aware of whether you're blinding people coming towards you. And you also, on the other extent, the other side of that, the amount of people, because of automatic headlights, don't check to see if their headlights are actually on.
Oh, yeah.
Jump in the car. Most cars will tell you, will give you a little green light on your dash to tell you that your headlights are on. Check the switch before you take on at night time in case somebody or you've knocked it, switched it off, because you could be driving along with your headlights off.
Can I just ask you one quick question then? And then I've got to take a quick break, and I want to get on to an upcoming strategy that you want to talk about.
Yeah.
It's illegal to flash your headlights, isn't it? Like, they're just flash headlights.
Yes, because it's dazzling to the people coming towards you.
Is it? Can you do it when the person coming the other way has got their headlights on high beam?
It's everybody does it. I realise that. The main thing is that you're not causing an equal hazard to the one that you're trying to stop. So if someone's dazzling you with their high beams on, you don't want to do the return thing, and then you've got two cars where the driver's having trouble seeing because they've got the little, you know, stars in their eyes from the bright lights. So I'd probably say don't do it. But I can appreciate why people would do it.
I guess some of them only do it once or twice quickly, don't they?
Yes.
Well, look, we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back because we want to talk about this strategy that's coming up.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about, you've got some operations coming up.
We do.
An operation coming up.
We do, Alan. And, you know, just talking about before with the headlight issue, we've got an operation that's going to be running over the next couple of weeks, Operation Wink. Across Wink. And what it's, you know, it's based around the cars that are driving around with just one headlight operating. But in general terms, it's going to be, we're going to be even more looking out for vehicles that have obvious defects, because quite often we'll pull over a car and it might have one headlight out, and then with a little more examination we'll find there's some more sinister stuff going.
Bald tyres,
you know, issues with braking, people have messed around with the suspension on the car, making it unsafe. So Operation Wink's kicking off So if you're driving around with, you know, only one headlight or only one brake light, now's your opportunity to get it fixed up.
When does it start?
So it starts off beginning of July. So what's that, a couple of week or so's time?
About a week away, yep.
Yep. So we'll be doing our normal business of driving around, but we'll be particularly looking out for cars that have those defective lights.
Yep.
And we'll be putting them over and, you know, what they used to call them, canaries, defective vehicle notice will be handed out.
Still got those?
Yep, yep. Still got those, and they'll be handed out. And even though a fine can accompany that.
Yep.
Most of the time you'll get your defective vehicle notice, and that's painful enough because not only do you have to get your vehicle fixed up, but you're going to have to get that notice cleared.
Yep.
You have to get it cleared from Vic Roads.
And you have to get a road with you to get
not all the time, depending on the amount of problems with the car.
Right.
But even if you know if you do, you got to get the, if you do have to get the roadway certificate, you've got to get that, and then you've got to get yourself booked into Vic Roads to get all that stuff cleared off. So for the sake of a headlight globe,
yep,
or a brake light globe, get those fixed up and keep your car up to a good standard, and you'll be bright as rain.
Get the tyres.
Yeah. You know, and you're looking at that general roadworthiness, we're also got another op coming up, Operation Snow Bunny.
What's that?
So Operation Snow Bunny is all about all the people who are driving up to the ski areas on our weekends.
Yep. Very often, I don't say inexperienced drivers, but not. In fact, I think Cindy McLeish was talking about it before too, that some people don't think they need change when they get
up. And that's the thing. And that's what we'll be looking at. We'll be stopping motorists and discussing, you know, where are you heading? Have you, you know, organised to get yourself chains or do you have them already?
Yep.
We'll be looking at, you know, is the car, you know, good enough to be on the road, let alone, you know, heading up into those mountain areas. And also, because they're driving a long distance and they're only doing it for maybe a day trip, we'll be looking at, are these people fatigued? Are they speeding? Are they driving carefully? Are they impaired? So that's going to be happening on the Melbourne and the Maroondah.
Yep.
So that's also going to be running across July and all across ski season.
Yep.
And what else are we having? Well, we've got another one, and this one is... This one's called Operation Conventus.
Operation who?
Conventus.
Yeah.
I had to look it up. It's Latin for a gathering, I hope. I hope I looked it up. I hope Wikipedia was correct. Otherwise, you're going to get lots of calls.
Well, we'll soon know.
Yeah, it's all right, telling me that I'm wrong. But we'll run with that it's about a gathering. And this is happening at least once a month. Mm. We're going to have all across Yarra Rangers, Maroondah and Knox will be a huge amount of police focusing on speeding and impairment offences.
Yep.
We'll be running around about 21 alcohol and drug testing sites across those.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
So the idea is that just about everywhere you drive across this sort of eastern area, you're going to see the police conducting roadside breath tests. You're going to see police conducting speed enforcement, speed detection, with the idea being that it's just a wake-up call to everybody that if you offend on the road, you can be caught anytime, any place. There'll be a police car there.
Now, can I just ask you this, and you might not want to tell me because it might be secret.
All right, let's go.
Of all highway patrol cars now, because while I know they could all test for alcohol...
Mm-hmm.
Can Highway Patrol now, on any of their cars, test for drugs as
Absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely. Yes, so we all have that that technology to be able to test, conduct preliminary oral fluid tests, which detects prescribed illicit drugs. And now a lot of uniform police stations have it too, so divisional vans.
Have they?
Yeah, not everywhere yet, but it's rolling out. And so I know in the valley here, most of your police stations out here now have the ability to conduct drug tests as well. So
in their vans?
Yeah.
So really, you've really got to almost look at it that every police car on the road is a drug testing.
Yep, drug and alcohol testing. And this Operation Conventus, it's really good because it's not just a highway patrol initiative. This is one involving...
Isn't it?
No. So this is involving our general duties police and also our detectives. So everybody will be out there. It's a big effort every month to get out there and really send a clear message that anytime, any place, you can be pulled over. And if you've been drink driving, if you've been drug driving, if you're speeding, you'll be caught and you'll suffer a penalty as a result of that.
And, of course, something else, and I'm just going to ask your opinion on this, we've been talking about the driver losing his licence, about going to work and all that sort of stuff, but if it's a single car family or a single driver family, like the whole family pays, don't they?
Yeah. Everybody's got to try and help out the one person who's caused the whole dilemma in the first place.
And I've probably said this to you before, and I like to really say it because there's a program called Rider, which is run by Rotary and all that, and you probably know all about that. And I've, as a volunteer, I've worked on that on a few occasions. I'm not bragging about it, but the reason that I think it's so important, one of them that I was doing, they had a lady there, and I think she's in the 30s now, but she was 24. She was part of the social scene and everything was all right. And I don't believe she did anything wrong, but she was at the wrong place, the wrong time. The car went into a pole. And I think the thing that shut every, because some of the kids were being a bit of a smart Alex, at this, when she was talking, we can't understand her, you know, what they go on with. And all of a sudden she said, I can't even wipe my own bum. And there wasn't another word said. I mean, this is the sort of thing you're saying, aren't you? That's what can happen.
It's life-changing. Absolutely life-changing. Yeah, so we want everybody to be safe out there. The whole reason that the Highway Patrol is out there, the whole reason why we're running these big operations is because we want to make the road safer. The whole idea is that...
Well, you want to go home safe.
Well, absolutely.
Yep.
Everybody wants to go home safe. Everybody wants to get where they're going without any problems. You know, we want to... We don't want to have injury or fatal collisions anymore. We want it to stop. And that's what the whole strategy is for. And the more motorists we talk to, the more motorists we test is trying to send that message to everybody. Just take it easy on the roads. Do the right thing.
I think you mentioned it last time I was talking to you, that when you hand out a ticket... Pardon me. when you hand out a ticket, the word gets around between the whole family? Was that something you said?
Yes, so it has an effect on everybody. So it has an effect on the person who receives the blister, so to speak. You know, and they go home and, you know, they discuss it with their family, and that's money out of their pocket that they're going to have to spend. Yep. While they're pulled over at the side of the road, there's the people who are driving past and who see the police car there with someone pulled over, and they go, oh, the police are pulling that person over, and it looks like they're going to get, you know, they're going to get done for that.
Yeah.
So it has an effect on those motorists as well, and there's some studies being done which shows that, you know, that can, for the person driving past the police car, that can actually deter them from offending for a period of time because they think to themselves, the police are out and about. I won't, I'll watch what I'm doing, I'll behave, I'll concentrate on my driving. Yep. So, multiple effects from just that one police intercept. And that's why it's very important that we're going to be doing a lot of these intercepts. Yep. The last time we ran this Operation Conventus, we pulled over and tested or intercepted, you know, over 2,000 motorists in one day. In a day.
Jeez.
Yep. So, and you know, that's going to be wrong. I won't tell you which date it is.
No.
Everybody will work it out when they see all the police around.
But that's going to be just one day, or
yeah. So we it's a random day.
Yep.
We suddenly throw it on. Obviously, it's a lot of resources to put out there.
Yep.
But it's trying to send a very clear message that we're committed to making our roads safe for everybody to use.
And I think. I don't know if you can remember this, but I remember seeing a police an advertisement on the TV, and it asked the person how many people was acceptable for the year to die, and I think the person said, oh, you know, 20 or 30 or something. Then they showed those 30 people with their family and all that, and that was a very powerful message.
Absolutely.
Because you thought, man, this is real stuff.
Yeah, there is no acceptable number.
No.
It's zero.
Do you think we'll ever get to zero? Oh, no, that's probably not a fair question to ask you.
Well, it's going to come. There's going to be a lot of things that help that. You know, with the improvement in vehicles, when we, you know, driverless cars, you know, that sort of thing, automation, you would hope that would definitely contribute to lowering it down to zero. You never know. Never say never.
Yeah. No, because I remember Ken Lay thought that we could get it down to zero, didn't he? And then not long after that, it went up again for some silly reason.
Yeah.
We seem to have gone up in the last few years rather than coming down.
Yeah.
And particularly with – and that's the reason why I mentioned to you before about the safer cars, because the cars are getting safer, but the numbers seem to go up. And so it's got to be driver fatigue, alcohol, drugs, speeding, or all.
All things that – the person behind the wheel can have control over.
Seems to be.
It's all about choices.
We're fast running out of time. Is there anything else?
There is one other thing, and it's about drivers doing silly things. I spoke to you last time. We've got a special unit set up within our highway patrol across Knox Marunda and Yarra Ranges, and it's called the Eastern Region Division 2 Road Crime Tasking Team, the RCTT. We do love an acronym.
The police force always do.
Love it. You know, and they're dedicated to enhancing, you know, the public safety and proactively identifying, disrupting and deterring, and there's more, recidivists, high-risk drivers and criminal activities on our roads. Yep. So in short, as I said last time, people who are going onto our roads and conducting burnouts, and I know there's been some big issues up around Mount Donabuang, out Warburton Way and Yarra Junction Way, of groups of cars sitting in the middle of intersections or car parks, you know, doing donuts and things. Yep. This team is dedicated to finding those people. And what we will do, as I said last time, we will those guys will go and execute warrants, search warrants on their houses. They'll seize computers, they'll seize mobile phones, they'll seize cars.
As you say, they can lose a car.
Absolutely. You know, and you know, when these things go to court, we'll be making applications to the court to have the car forfeited so that the person never gets their car back. You know, in the last 6 months, this unit has executed 6 search warrants. And they've impounded over 30 vehicles.
True.
And now over 300 charges have been issued to people who think that it's fun to go out and do donuts in the middle of the street.
The other issue that with that too is that it's not hard for one of those cars, like you're doing something illegal, to all of a sudden run into a crowd and kill someone.
Run into a crowd, run to a tree, kill the driver, or they kill their best mate and then they're going to jail for killing their best mate for that.
I sometimes think we don't stress that enough, that it all of a sudden a person who's just you or I can wind up in jail, who has got no intention of committing a crime by doing stupid stuff.
There's mandatory sentencing for that sort of stuff.
Could wind up in jail.
You go to jail for it. Yeah. I might... if there could be a clearer message, you know, that's it. You can go to jail for killing somebody on our roads.
Yeah.
In relation to these people doing burnouts and such, to the members of the public, if you have any information about that, please contact Crime Stoppers.
Yep.
You can get them on the web, on the net. You can write to them. It's completely confidential, or you can give them a phone call.
Completely. Yeah, we actually have them in once a month.
Perfect. Yep. Perfect. You know, and this is through this information. That's how we go and catch these guys who are ripping up our streets, which then need to be relaid with new bitumen and stuff.
It's costing us all money.
Absolutely.
And it's still, I mean, a person can wind up in jail.
Yes. Yep.
And I think that's, well, that would put me off for anything else.
Yeah.
I don't want you guys to put me in the slammer.
Yeah.
Look, fantastic for you to come in again, James. We always enjoy it. I wish we could just sit here and have a laugh rather than be talking about some of these statistics. But, I mean, this is where we are, and we need to try and get... Because I'm going to go hop in a car now and I'm going to drive home, and I don't want some clown to be doing something and wipe me out, and you don't
either. Biggest takeaways are drive to the conditions. The weather out there is lousy at the moment. Drive to the conditions. Yep.
I've got to go. It's time for the news, but thank you for your time. We look forward to seeing someone release in a couple of months.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, James. Bye.